My name is Randy Stotts, and you're listening to Pro Lacrosse Talk.
Right off the bat, there's Lyle Thompson.
Kylie O'Miller showing off those shifty skills.
Driver driving hard down the alley, and he scores.
What a goal from Josh Bird.
Kayla Trainer slips and scores.
What are you kidding me?
By Dylan Ward.
Gets topside. Rambo scores.
Welcome to Pro Lacrosse Talk, your go-to podcast for interviews with professional players, coaches, and executives, as well as the latest news and analysis from all three professional lacrosse leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Adam Moore and Hutton Jackson.
What's up, Pro Lacrosse fans? Welcome to another edition of Pro Lacrosse Talk presented by Fanatics. Reminder to visit prolacrossetalk.com/NLL shop or /NLL shop-CA for your official NLL team gear from Fanatics. I'm your host, Hutton Jackson, joined us by my co-host, Adam Moore. As always, we welcome all who are listening, but in particular, those who are watching on Spotify. But it is the new year. Happy New Year, Adam. How's it going?
It's going great, man. Starting a new year fresh and already tons of lacrosse to talk about. So excited to dive into this one in a bunch of different leagues.
Absolutely. I haven't seen you since last year. It's crazy. Yeah. But
I'm the dad. Come on. That's a dad joke. I'm the dad. That should have been mine.
Oh, I have dad jokes. Galore. New year, but same old crappy jokes from me. Happy to have you back as my co-host for this week. Missed you last week. Luckily, Sam was able to come on. He did a great job joining me, and appreciate you knocking out an interview with Randy Stotts that we'll hear from later today as well. So definitely you guys stay tuned for that. We appreciate Randy hopping on. But 2021 has gone and 2022 is here. But, you know, I figured we could talk a little bit about some of our favorite moments from 2021, just to kind of tie a nice ribbon on this year that was pretty awesome for pro lacrosse. You know, saw the return of the NLL, saw the PLL, you know, enter its third season, and the AU's first season. But what were some of your top moments from 2021, Adam?
Yeah, a couple that come to mind immediately. I posted on Twitter the Kayla Trainer no-goal goal, where she air-gated. I think it just must be a Syracuse coach thing that they have the ability to do that, right? I think that was one of the best moments of the AU season, even though it technically didn't count. And a goal in particular that did count, that blew up on Twitter, made the SportsCenter top 10, was Nicole Levy's goal during the AU season as well. So those were a couple AU ones. And just in general, the AU first season for AU overall was phenomenal, with Taylor Cummings winning the championship. So obviously a ton of really awesome moments, but always love highlighting the women's game, the women's pro game, and the AU, and looking forward to seeing them in 2022 as well.
Yeah, no, and I think what they were able to do with the media side of things, you know, those athletes have been scoring those types of goals for a while, but yep, the content that they produced week in and week out was great. You know, you got stylistic highlights of those types of goals, particularly, you know, the Nicole Levy goal that, again, like you said, blew up. And it's just great to see that the women's game is getting its due and that they're going to be back for season two. So exciting there. It sounds like they're going to have some news coming out pretty recently since talking to them this offseason. So that's exciting as well. But for me, I really seeing the MLL and the PLL merger come to fruition, you know, obviously that happened late last year, you know, in 2020. But everything kind of came together in 2021. You know, the Cannons being introduced as the eighth expansion team. You had the PLL entry draft, where Lyle Thompson went number one overall, to no surprise. And just seeing, you know, all these players under one roof once again, with the, you know, PLL's media engine behind it. I think it was, you know, the best year for field lacrosse that we've seen in a long time. And the play on the field was also phenomenal too. You got a new champion with the Chaos, you know, upsetting the Whipsnakes. I mean, there was a lot to see, and they returned to the touring model. So, you know, it's exciting that they were able to do that. And, you know, going to get to that a little bit later with our pro lacrosse resolutions, but, I thought the PLL was awesome. Some of the moments too, that really, I think personally, was the Nick Morocco game winning saves, that he made against the Archers. You know, I had some money riding on that, on their money line, that ended up cashing as well, but, that was a fun moment. I mean, again, you know, you could look at the Chaos's run throughout the whole playoffs too, and what they were able to accomplish. The Chase Frazier goal in Philly, when he did that, you know, scooping backhand, was amazing. And that kind of like put the dagger in the Atlas in that game. So yeah, there's a lot of fun moments. And who can forget the return of the NLL this year as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think just from a personal side too, you know, we were able to see a game live this year, you know, obviously lucky that the PLL was able to put on the bubble last year, but to go out to a couple of venues this year to see them in action in person. It just felt like things were getting a little bit back to normal, and that was a big moment for me too. It's just being able to see people in person, watch the sport we all love so much, and really enjoy it from a bird's eye view.
Yeah, no, and that was my first time attending a sporting event since the, you know, COVID shutdown in Philadelphia, when I, you know, got to attend with you and a bunch of our other PLT contributors. Went to DC as well, and you were in Baltimore as well too. So you made three stops. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, it was great. And then the NLL is back too, and we have some plans to see some Wings games this coming spring, which will be fun. But it's great to see, you know, and unfortunately, we did have a little bit of, which we'll get to with the COVID, you know, with cases rising, the NLL had to, you know, make, I think, the smart decision of postponing, the 1 week, you know, but it sounds like there was only three games this week anyway. So I think they should be able to easily reschedule them. And I still think their plans are to, you know, move full steam ahead. They have been people in on the COVID list, but I think it was a smart decision given there was only three games going to occur this weekend anyway, people returning, you know, after, you know, seeing family for the holidays. It was probably all in all smart. We'll get into that a little bit and recap some of the big games that happened last time we saw in action. But one of my other moments from 2021 is the announcement of the Las Vegas franchise. Now, I think it was the worst kept secret that it was going to be Las Vegas getting a franchise, but when it was finally announced, the ownership group was crazy. You know, Wayne Gretzky as an owner, along with Joe Tsai, as well as Dustin Johnson and Steve Nash. I mean, you couldn't ask for better owners, I think, especially given like they're all, you know, different pockets of the sports world, golf, basketball, you know, hockey, of course, which the connection with Gretzky's there. But we've read a recent article in Sports Business Journal where Nick Sakevich talked to them. You know, it sounds like Las Vegas is going to announce their name pretty soon in the next coming months. So we should be getting, you know, some branding coming out. Their Twitter account has been pretty active, pretty funny in my opinion. Yeah. You know, they tweeted, should we announce our name during the Lexus December to Remember event, which I thought was pretty funny. You know, are we going to get the Las Vegas Lexuses? I hope not. But I thought of some names. And so we're going to play Hot or Not, where you're going to tell me if this is a hot name or not a hot name, because, you know, their slogan so far has been coming in hot. So I came up with four. You know, hopefully you like one of these. But the first one, since the Heat theme is going on, you know, you can't really call them the Heat. There's already the basketball team. But I thought maybe Las Vegas Scorchers or Las Vegas Scorch. You know, we get so many gambling references, but this is, you know, more of a desert reference. What do you think of that?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm like lukewarm on those. When you immediately said the Heat side of things, I thought of just the burn, because you get burnt a lot in Vegas with some bad bets.
There you go.
So I think there's something there, could possibly be there with the Heat theme. But I think Albany might have something to say with the Firewolves. That's too many cooks in the kitchen. It might get a little hot in there. Charlie Kitchen.
Yeah, I like burn, actually. I might like that better than scorch or scorchers. But, you know, I did mention that gambling tends to come into the picture. And, you know, with sports betting and everything, I thought Las Vegas Blackjacks. I thought that would be a cool name. That's probably my favorite. You know, and you could also go old school NLL tradition and make it, you know, Blackjacks with a JAX, like the Lumberjacks were, or the Shamrocks were, if you really wanted to. Or you could do, you know, CKS, like the traditional way. But that's another name. Hot or not, Adam?
More hot on that one, I think. I really liked, so on the gambling side of things, it's super fitting. There was a Arena Football League team in Atlantic City, the Atlantic City Blackjacks, and they had a pretty solid logo. And I think there's a lot you could do with that. And I definitely think that would be a solid name. They could do some really cool things with it. So I'm more hot on that one for sure.
Okay. And then my next one is Las Vegas Mirage, you know, because the Desert Mirage. What do you think of this one? You know, it might be a little dicey given, you know, the casinos and the resorts Mirage, but what do you think of that one?
That'd be not for me, I think. Okay. Just, you know, you could do a lot with the Mirage side of things, but that's a no for me on that one. I know the desert side of things is super fitting, but I'm going to go no on that one.
All right. Not illusioned with the Mirage. All right. Final one.
I think it's too close. It hits too close to home. It's not the barrage. So I think I'm going to say no.
All right. And then my final one, Las Vegas Legends. You know, you have a legendary ownership group. You know, it kind of rolls off the tongue, the Las Vegas Legends. I don't know. What do you think of that one?
I like the Fagan Legends side of things. I do think, though, there is already a team in Las Vegas called the Las Vegas Legends. I think it's an indoor professional soccer team currently. So we could have a Cleveland Guardians thing. You know, the roller derby team didn't want to give up the name, and the soccer team could say the same. So I definitely think it would work. I'm curious to see what would happen with that one, but I like it. It's hot. I consider that one a hot one, but I'm curious if that's the one they're going to go with.
So hot on the branding, but potentially not hot on the legal side of things. Yes. So we'll have to see. But you know, if you guys have any other suggestions, feel free to tweet at us. We're looking forward to the eventual, you know, name reveal when Las Vegas does reveal their name, or Lax Vegas, as you could say. Yeah, definitely excited. You know, we got really excited with the past expansion team branding. It's fun to do this every year because it feels like there's always an expansion team, whether it's the PLL or the NLL occurring. So definitely looking forward to see what they eventually reveal. But we did mention these NFL COVID postponements. So three games were postponed. One has already been rescheduled between the Rush and the Seals, rescheduled for January 14th. So, you know, only getting pushed back 2 weeks. That's good there. The other two, we're still waiting to hear. And then the Thunderbirds also rescheduled another game against the Riptide that was supposed to occur, you know, this coming weekend, but it was moved to February 4th already. So, you know, Halifax's restrictions have been a little bit tighter and they've had to kind of accommodate that, but good to see that they were at least be able to reschedule. You know, it's a long season. Things need to get pushed back a little bit. There's always, you know, some off weeks that they're able to have the flexibility there. And the more important thing is that players are hopefully getting healthy. You know, we already saw Corey Small get re-added to the, you know, the active roster after landing on the COVID list, as well as a few other players. So, and Patrick Merrill was the first coach to test positive for the Seals. So hopefully he's able to, you know, return for their next game. He was the first coach in season to test positive. So I think the NLL will handle it the proper way. But what are your thoughts on them, you know, foregoing this past week, you know, which was centered around this this past weekend, you know, only three games, and then deciding to postpone those games and return week five?
Yeah, you know, everything with COVID is so fluid, right? Things are changing, the variants popping up and whatnot. I think it was a smart move. You know, it's something that is easily rescheduled, right? With only three games, and with other leagues doing similar things, like the NHL pausing for a little bit there, it just made sense just to kind of get a better view of the landscape. It's not really changing too much in terms of scheduling and things like that, and they can work through the changing landscape as it comes. So I'm completely fine with it. It makes complete sense. Everyone wants to be safe, want to make sure everyone stays safe through this, and they thought this was the best route to do just that. So makes complete sense, and looking forward to seeing them back on the floor this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we go into those games, let's at least talk about some two big games, in my opinion, sure, that, you know, since we last talked, and that was the Seals Roughnecks. You had Dane Doby return. He had 7 goals. He had the sock trick plus 1 more and 2 assists. So 9 points, and he lit it up. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better game out of Dane Doby. Storybook, the way that turned out. Yeah. And then we'll get to, you know, a little bit later to the Firewolves Nighthawks, where some tempers flared. But what did you think of the return of Dane Doby to Calgary? And is Calgary kind of kicking themselves for not re-signing him?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, you want to have Dane Doby on your squad, right? So I think anyone would be kicking themselves on that side of things. But I picked the Seals in that one primarily because of, I think Dane had 6 goals the last time he played against the Seals. So I said he'd be the difference, and he most certainly was. I don't think that was talking about fire and getting scorched. I don't think that was a burning hot take that Dane Doby is good at lacrosse and will help your team win. So it was an awesome matchup. Loved watching it. Absolute battle both ways. And I'm looking forward to seeing them go up against each other again.
And on the flip side, you know, Calgary, you know, they hung in there till the end when the Steelers started to pull away. But sure, on the other side, Curtis Dixon, 7 points himself. He had 5 goals, 2 assists. You know, I think this Calgary team is definitely not as good as they have been in years past, but definitely not as bad as maybe we believed, you know, losing a guy like Dane Doby and a few other players too, you know. So I think, you know, I'm interested to see their matchup coming up against the Nighthawks. Because I think the Nighthawks are another team that looked to be better this year, whereas Calgary is, we're still trying to fit. Those are two teams I'm still trying to figure out. I think the Nighthawks haven't really been tested too much. You know, they played the Bandits tight But I need to see a little bit more from them just to see if, you know, we're getting the team that beat up on the Firewolves or if we're seeing the team, you know, that, you know, kind of hung with the Bandits or beat the Riptide. I just don't know. I think the Nighthawks are the real deal, but I think it'll be a good test against Calgary. And on the flip side, Calgary played the Rush tight. They beat the Rush. You know, they obviously played the Seals tight. And they didn't do too bad against the Bandits either. So, you know, they've had a tough stretch so far. And I think the Nighthawks is a good spot for them to get right and maybe get a win if they are the team that, you know, we think they can be. Sure. But overall, yeah, this was a great game to watch. And again, you know, props to Dane Doby on his return. Again, yeah, if I was Calgary's front office, I'm probably, you know, thinking maybe we should have signed this guy, you know, for another year or whatever. Maybe I shouldn't have let him walk, but you know, that's sports. And it was great to see him. I mentioned the Nighthawks versus the Firewolves. We had some sparks fly in this game. Nighthawks got off to a lead and never really looked back. Firewolves kind of, you know, stayed alive a little bit, but just wasn't overall a good day for them in their home debut in Albany. But we had a goalie fight, Adam, between Hartley, the starting goalie for the Nighthawks, and then the Ethan Wood, the backup for the Firewolves. Ethan Wood got in relief for Dougie Jamison, and it only lasted about, you know, 50 seconds after tempers started to flare, that both teams started to go at it. And those two goalies decided to meet in the middle and drop the gloves and, you know, their full pads as well for a goalie fight. As a goalie yourself, Adam, what were your thoughts seeing that?
It's always impressive. It always makes me laugh when I see goalies, especially in the indoor league, drop the gloves, because they drop so much padding, right? It's not just they're yeah. dropping gloves, right? Like everything falls off, and they look like they like have a half a sumo suit on, I feel like, half the time when they drop the gloves. And no, it was an awesome battle. Love to see it. I was at the game. I think it wasn't a goalie on goalie fight, but it was Ethan Iannucci against Anthony Cosmo. It was a quick bout. I wouldn't call it a full fight, but I've seen it in person before, and it was definitely an awesome battle. And social media loved it, right? Like you know, whether you're for fighting or against it, like, eyes were on lacrosse.
Yeah, everyone, yeah.
You even just saw the random commenters like, what is this? I don't know what this is, but give me another link, because I'm going to want to watch more of whatever this is. So like, eyes were on the NLL because of that fight. So brought eyes to the sport, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, you had ESPN and TSN, obviously, you know, retweeting it, but you also had like TMZ picking up the story and stuff. So yeah, I loved it. You know, fighting's a part of the NLL. So from a tradition standpoint, much like hockey, so I don't have a problem with it. I know, you know, people might pulling up, you know, my old receipts or whatever about the Nick Cosello fight and bringing that up. I thought it was different context or whatever. Again, I like it in the indoor game. If they want to have it in the field game, you know, just kind of make it rules so you can drop the gloves like, you know, you do in the NLL, but don't kind of dance around it with like, are we allowing it or not, you know? So yeah, you can pull up my old receipts. I still stand by my thoughts on that. But yeah, I'd love the fight between the goalies. Man, what a way. And you had Brendan Glasheen and Andy Towers on the call. You probably couldn't have picked two better people to be on the call for that one with Coach Towers. So, you know, a little bit of some WWE style fighting from, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin doppelganger and Andy Towers there. It was nice to have him on the call, but yeah, I thought it was great. Like you said, ton of eyeballs on the sport because of it. And yeah, and I think hopefully, you know, more people tune into the NLL because of it. It's a shame that we had a bye week and then another off week after that, because I felt like it built some positive momentum, but hopefully we can get that back in 2022. But speaking of positive momentum, Randy Stotts is making some positive recovery, you know, in his injury. Still not ready to return to the floor just yet, but you were able to speak to him, you know, in an interview. So let's toss to our interview with Randy Stotts.
All right, we're here with Randy Stotts, attackman for Chrome Lacrosse Club and the Iroquois National Team, and one of the newest members of Panther City Lacrosse Club. Randy, thanks for joining us on the show again.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure having a chat.
Yeah, man, it's been a minute. I think the last time you were on, you were a member of the Blaze still at the time. So it's definitely been a little while. So a lot has changed since then. You joined the PLL. You're on a new NLL team as well in Panther City. Let's dive into that a little bit. Talk about when you heard you were moving to Panther City.
Yeah, you know, I was, you know, shocked at first, you know, being in Georgia for 6 years,
yeah,
basically, and being that was the only team I played for. I was definitely, I wasn't caught off guard. I knew something was going to happen, but I didn't know where I was going to go or what was going to happen. So I was definitely shocked. And, you know, I think I look at it as a good opportunity to start fresh and, you know, a brand new city, a brand new organization. And, you know, there's a lot of good that comes with that. And, you know, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to see you back out on the floor, hopefully soon. You guys had your first home game last weekend and that place was rocking. What really excites you most about suiting up for expansion franchise in this new squad?
Just the atmosphere, right? I've never really been to Texas too much, you know. I haven't been to the rink yet either, so. But I watched on TV, and you know, it looked like the crowd was buzzing, and everything was looking good. So, I mean, I think just getting out there in general, you know, the injury has kind of sidelined me here, obviously, and I'm just itching to play any lacrosse.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Yeah, you mentioned that injury. Unfortunately, went down with that knee injury during training camp with the Chrome. How's rehab going?
Rehab's going good, man. It's I've been through this before, so it's a little easier, I guess. So I know what to expect, but you know, that happened 10 years ago, and I forgot how long the process is and how tedious it is. So it's going good. I'm right on schedule with my protocols and, you know, just trying to get stronger every day and hoping to get back out there.
You mentioned that injury happened before the PLL season. We were really excited to see you suit up for Coach Sudo. But you guys really had a lot of injuries with the Chrome last year. You know, Jordan Wolf went down. JT, Giles Harris didn't even get to suit up. He was Sudo's first round pick. A couple guys are retiring. Your squad's going to look a lot different come next summer. What's kind of the expectations for the Chrome going in to next summer?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we definitely got hit with the injury bug there. Like, was not expected. I think, you know, before in training camp, we're all feeling good and gelling really well together. You know, I've played with that group in Rochester with the Rattlers. So, you know, we have a good core group there. And obviously seeing JG and Joel retiring, you know, they're heck of players and leaders and teammates and friends, you know. So I think for us, it's focusing on just trying to get better. I mean, the season this past year, I think could have been better. And, you know, I think we're going to be playing with a chip on our shoulders, looking to do some damage.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I'm curious, you know, the league announced, there was reports yesterday that there's going to be some free agency going on coming up pretty soon for the PL. What's your thoughts on just kind of that for the outdoor league going forward?
Yeah, I think it's good giving players more opportunities to test free agency and stuff like that. I think that's a positive.
We agree. Excited to see some movement going on and kind of more details on that coming forward. So love to dive into some Turtle Island stuff with it. You guys are headed to camp right now. Talk about kind of the expansion of Turtle Island since we last talked.
Yeah. So, I mean, right. We kind of, I work too. So I'm kind of doing a bunch of different things, and, you know, Turtle Island, we started it to educate people and to, you know, spread the game and share where it comes from. And, you know, we started the elite team, basically giving, you know, kids in our communities a chance to get seen and get noticed by prep schools or going down to play in the States. And, you know, I think it's special, and I'm excited to keep moving forward. Yeah, we're actually in Ottawa right now, about to do a camp here in a little bit, and it's a good ride. You know, it's been a lot of ups and downs, and, you know, it's a good learning curve to kind of see where this thing can go.
Yeah, we're excited to see where you guys take it going forward. But let's dive into our quick hitters, the 5 and 5. Hutton asks the lacrosse questions, but I'll ask them since it's just the two of us tonight. But Hutton's first lacrosse question, usually favorite squad you've been a part of during your career.
Wow. That's
a tough one. I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, I think all of them are different. I think the 2017 team in Georgia was a special team, and we had a really good group that year. And that was, you know, one of my goals in my entire life was to win an NLL championship. So I think I'm going to have to go with that one.
Good Good stuff. Number two, favorite venue you've played at could be college, before college, pros.
Yeah, definitely the domes up there. And then we played in Mile High Stadium on the 4th of July one year, and that was cool. There was a lot of people in attendance, and it was rocking.
Yeah, that tends to be a lot of the former MLL guys' favorite, the 4th of July game always. You mentioned the dome. Since you're a Q's alum, thoughts on Gary taking over at the helm?
I think that's awesome. You know, yeah. He's one of the best players ever to play, or the best player to ever play. And, you know, for these kids to get him and get his experience and knowledge, you know, you won't get that anywhere else. You know, yeah. it's something special. And then you got Petro there as well. And it's basically two living legends that have a world of knowledge about the game. And, you know, I think it's amazing for the program, and, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they can win a championship.
Yeah. We'd love to see it. Toughest matchup on that you've ever had to go against, defensive wise, who's been the toughest defender to go against?
I would say Graham Hossack. Obviously he's tough to beat. Yeah. And then I would say Tucker Durkin was all on the field.
Okay. All right. You could even say Graham for both at this point, right?
Honestly.
And then last lacrosse related one, Hutton is really wishing there was a lacrosse video game back. So if one does come back, who should be on the cover?
Oh man, that's a crazy question. I think, is it box or field? That's one thing that, you know, would define an answer.
Yeah, selfishly, I'd rather have a box video game right away because I played Blast Lacrosse back in the day. So I want to remember those glory days.
PS1. I mean, I think it'd be cool to have like maybe five or six of like the all time legends on there, and then get into on the cover, and then get into whoever's the top MVP or whatever the next year, kind of funnel it out that way.
Yeah, that's a good answer. That's cool. A very, very, very good answer. And then the quick hitters for off the field. So this is still sports related, but favorite non-lacrosse athlete to watch right now?
It's tough. I like golf, so
okay.
I usually just watch whoever's swinging the club around.
All right.
But I don't have a specific athlete. I like LeBron and Curry. You know, it's pretty cool to see what he did last night. And those moments are special, and you could see it in his mannerisms after he did it. You know, it was kind of like a surreal moment. That stuff's really cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome to see that. He kind of, and it was cool they stopped the game and was able to kind of take it all in at once, which was awesome.
Yeah. That's
number two, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Wow, these are some tough questions.
This is the second round of these, so we can't ask the easier one, since we already asked you the first go around.
Yeah, anywhere that I could have a lakefront mountains. I think being on a lake or a big river and having some mountains, I'd be good with that. Right. Wherever.
Good stuff. Number four, if you could eat dinner with any like three people, who would you pick, do you think, living or dead? Anyone like that you'd always wanted to talk to?
Eminem would be one.
All right.
I think Michael Jordan would be another one, and then I'd probably have to go with a Probert, a Bob Probert, a guy who played in the NHL and was a fighter. And, I would like to see, you know, kind of what his deal is.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. That'd be a, that'd be a while. I'm sure things would go past dinner with that crew. I think that'd be a pretty awesome night.
Yeah, it might be.
My last off the field question, any TV shows, podcasts you're binging right now?
I like Yellowstone. You know, I think it's such a sick show. I've been watching that. And then podcasts, you know, I listen to this podcast. I listen to Joe Rogan quite a bit. And then Back of the Bird, I also listen to that.
I literally just got into Yellowstone a couple of months ago, and I've been binging that pretty hard. I'm excited to see that. Was it 1883? The new one that's coming out, the like offshoot show.
That looks pretty sick too.
Yeah,
I'll be watching that for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then last question. Hutton always loves to end on. I know you gave it the last time you're on, but what's some advice you'd give to a young player looking to play professionally one day? What advice you giving to the kids in Ontario tomorrow?
Have fun with it, because you never know when it could be taken away, and just live in the moment with those opportunities you get on the floor.
That's awesome. That's great advice for our young listeners as well. Man, we really appreciate you hopping on again. You're, I think, our third recurring guest. So you're in good esteem. I think Tom Shriver and Kylie Oldmiller were the other two. So I really, really appreciate you hopping on, and good luck with rehab, and we look forward to seeing you on the floor soon.
Right on, man. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
All right. So welcome back. We appreciate Randy hopping on and speaking with Adam this past week. But now let's go look ahead to this coming week in the NLL and go with our matchups of the week, Adam. So I'll let you start off. Who's your matchup of the week this coming weekend?
Yeah, I know. We don't have to wait long for my matchup. It's the first game of the weekend, and that is the Warriors versus Mammoth. I think this is a really interesting matchup. You know, two teams that currently, I know it's only a few weeks into the season, but they're both 2-1 atop the West right now. And it's two teams looking to make a name for themselves. Obviously, the Mammoth have been competitive for a while now, and the Warriors are surprising to some people. So I'm curious to see those two kind of sides collide. Excited to see Dylan Ward and Cage against such a potent offense for the Warriors in a number of different areas. So yeah, definitely going with that first game of the week, Warriors versus Mammoth.
Yeah, no, and both are coming off a loss, so looking to get right this coming week. I think that's going to be definitely a good matchup. I'm going though to the East, and I'm going the Rock versus Bandits. Okay. Bandits currently undefeated. They're the only undefeated team, along with the Halifax Thunderbirds. So you only have 2-0 teams. No team has 3 wins yet. Obviously, you know, that will change this weekend, but the Rock, I still think, are a top contender. Their only loss was to the Thunderbirds, and I think this battle is going to be a juggernaut. You know, both goalies are stout, you know, Nick Rose and Matt Vince. I still think it's going to be high scoring though, given the firepower on both these teams. So this is my matchup of the weekend to watch in Buffalo, in Banditland. And, you know, it's one of those matchups too, where Banditland is so high energy that I think there could be a little bit of a home field advantage factor in this game, just given the fact that it is in Buffalo. You know, and you get that a lot in some of these NLL arenas. You know, Saskatchewan's another one, tough place to play. Calgary's tends to be a tough place to play. You know, so that's something that's kind of more unique to the NLL than it is to the PLL, obviously, with, you know, them traveling to the different locations. But that's my matchup of the week. So that's the game I'm looking forward to the most. What are your thoughts on your picks for this week, Adam?
Yeah, I'm just running right through in that first matchup of the week. I'm taking the Warriors over the Mammoth. I think they get back in the win column. I know I said I won't pick against the Wings until they lose. They lost, but I'm still going to pick them. So I don't care. This is our podcast. I'm going to stick with the Wings there. Taking Roughnecks over Nighthawks. I think they stay on their winning ways. Taking Rush, Rock. And I'm taking Panther City to get their first dub in franchise history over the Seals. I know that might be a bit of a shocker, but I'm taking Tracy Kolesky. Let's get that first dub under his belt as head coach.
All right, yeah, and you just talked to Randy Stotts, member of Panther City, who hasn't suited up for them yet, but don't know if that's, you know, is that weighing on you or not. I'm going to go Warriors as well. I also like the Wings in this spot. You know, again, I just really, you know, don't know how I feel about Georgia yet. They did have a big win thanks to a, you know, phenomenal day from Lyle Thompson against the Riptide. But then I'm going Nighthawks. I think this Nighthawks team is the real deal. You know, I think it's going to be a close one against the Roughnecks. But, you know, I give them a little bit, hopefully, home field advantage too in Rochester. So I'm going Nighthawks I like the rush as well. And then I'm going Bandits at home. You know, as I mentioned, that's my matchup to watch. I'm big on the Rock. I really like the Rock. But I think the Bandits are right up there as well. So I'm going Bandits in that game. And then I'm taking Seals. You know, I want Panther City to get their first win. Just don't think it's going to come against the San Diego team that's looking like they're clicking now. You know, after that first loss of the season, they really haven't slowed down at all. So I'm picking the Seals in that final matchup. But that wraps up our NLL portion. We do have one final thing. You know, New Year's is always good for resolutions. So we have some pro lacrosse resolutions for 2022. Adam, what are your pro lacrosse resolutions?
I know this one may be far-fetched, but my resolution is for the PLL to expand to another team. I want as many teams as we can get. I know from a business perspective, it might not be in the cards this year, but we usually see the announcements in the fall, right? So, and we weren't expecting the Water Dogs when we got them. Merger was a bit of a surprise too, you know? So the league has been known to surprise and excite its fans. So let's have another team. There's enough guys. We talk about it enough, right? The last guy on the bench could play for all these squads. So as a goalie, I think some of those guys should see some playing time. So my resolution is for the PLL to expand to another team. Could be one of the MLL squads that they have in storage currently, or a brand new squad. So but yeah, that's my one resolution at the moment.
And what you're secretly saying is you really want Barrage Lacrosse Club.
Yes, yes. No Mirage, not hot. Barrage hot. Yeah. Sure.
No, I love it. And like you said, like, you know, we're not getting expansion for this coming season 4, but they usually announce it in the fall. So we could see some expansion, you know, in the late 2022. Definitely for sure. You know, we're hoping. And, you know, with the influx of what it seems like investment into the league, you know, there's a lot of groups and people wanting to invest in field lacrosse that were sitting on the sidelines until this merger happened. And the merger that was accelerated now has kind of allowed, you know, more investment opportunities to come into pro field lacrosse. So, you know, if they take another big leap like they did in year 3, I definitely think it's a possibility, and I would love to see it as well. Hopefully maybe we get 2 Barrage and Bayhawks lacrosse clubs. That would be my pick for a team. But my pro lacrosse resolutions, I have 2. One is for the NLL to announce a U.S. sportsbook partnership. It sounds like it's coming. They just announced their Canadian sports partnership, sportsbook partnership with Sports Interaction. So, you know, that's a great sign. You know, obviously Coolbet has lines, Sports Interaction now will have lines, and they're incorporated in the broadcast, which is more important. You know, it's kind of bringing more eyeballs on the sport, more people that bet on lacrosse, the more people are going to get watching lacrosse. So that's a very important, not only from, you know, me personally wanting to bet on it, but a growth standpoint as well. And then, you know, fans to get out to NLL games, unfortunately, you know, with COVID, you know, this is kind of me hoping that things start to get a little bit better come the spring, you know, hopefully as the winter weather kind of goes away, people get healthier too. But, you know, attendance hasn't been great so far. Again, it's kind of what to be expected. You know, they were away for a year. Now with COVID again, kind of resurging, it's understandable, but, you know, get out to games if you feel safe. If, you know, like, again, I'm not going to tell anybody to go to a game if they don't feel comfortable, but if you feel comfortable, attend some of these games. We're planning on attending a Wings game in February. You know, maybe a few more too, as the season goes along, but you know, attend some of these games. It's a great environment for your family, you know, to attend. And you know, it's a fun environment too. So I encourage people to get out to games. And then my final one for the PLL is visit some new cities. You know, they had to go back to some more of the traditional cities this past season, understandably, but you know, originally on their 2020 schedule, they had Raleigh, they had Portland. You know, hopefully they can show some Canadian cities as well. Obviously the border will, you know, kind of play a factor into that, but go to some new cities, spread the game. I'd love to see them to go to some of those places. You know, Nashville's one that, you know, I really want the NLL to have a team there. I would love to see, you know, the pro lacrosse, you know, showcase there, whether that's an NLL team eventually, or, you know, the PLL going there. I just think Nashville is a fun city and a fun environment. Sure. But yeah, go there, definitely return to DC, Baltimore, Philly, you know, for us to hit those spots as well. But those would be the spots I recommend. So those are my pro lacrosse resolutions. But it's been another episode of Pro Lacrosse. We appreciate you guys listening. Spotify is now allowing you to rate and review podcasts. So definitely, if you don't follow us on Spotify, please follow us on Spotify. And if you are following us on Spotify or watching this on Spotify already, one click away, just give us a 5-star review if you enjoyed this. It helps us move up in the ratings and bring more episodes to you. So we appreciate you guys tuning in as always, and we hope you tune in next time to Pro Lacrosse Talk.